This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good, happy get over the hump day Wednesday to you. Almost had to remember what day it was. It is Wednesday. It is a hump day here on the hometown take. I hope you're having a great start to your day. I appreciate you all tuning in. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early rises this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 613 IBEW workers out there. All my early morning, late night local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night funeral home workers. And of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Appreciate y'all tuning in. I hope you all are having, like I said, a great start to your day, and we got a lot to get into this morning. Pitchers and catchers reporting for the Atlanta Braves today as we are getting that much closer, y'all, to baseball season. This, you're starting to be able to smell it in the air. We got fall spring because now it done got back cold again. Last week it was nice, and now it's gotten back chilly. Got a little rain this morning, so baseball weather is coming. We're on the cusp of it, y'all, and we're soon going to be talking about the Atlanta Braves playing baseball yet again, and that starts with pitchers and catchers reporting today. And I actually have a Braves conversation I want to have with y'all. I was reading a very good article from Dave O'Brien from The Athletic yesterday, and he had a couple of questions on there that I want to answer and pose to you all as well. So we're going to have that conversation coming up in about 17 minutes from now. But I want to start by talking about the Atlanta Falcons first, because Josh Kendall was on the morning shift yesterday, and he was talking about the Falcons with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo. And obviously, as the producer of the morning shift, I was listening as well. And he brought up something interesting because it was either Mike or Bo that asked him this question. And his answer was interesting because, again, either Mike or Bo asked him if the Falcons, if there's any chance the Falcons could draft another offensive player in the first round this year. And Josh said, maybe an offensive lineman. And I was like, you know what? If the Falcons did draft an offensive lineman, I wouldn't necessarily be thrilled about it, but I feel like you can't be mad about it either. And he made a good point, too. He was talking about how, you know, you got to look at what the Philadelphia Eagles have been doing. Look at their model. Making sure they always have the trenches taken care of when it comes to offensive and defensive line. I mean, you don't get the offensive line the Philadelphia Eagles got by buying every single one of them. No, you draft those guys, and they have drafted those guys. They drafted Lane Johnson. They drafted Jordan Mailata. They drafted Cam Jurgens. They drafted Landon Dickerson. So you have to, especially when it comes to the trenches, you know, you can go get, you know, wide receiver pieces here and there. You can go get cornerbacks in free agency here and there. And I mean, you can get some, obviously, defensive linemen and offensive linemen in free agency as well. But the way you have sustained success is you draft that type of talent. You draft and draft well when it comes to the trenches. And that's what teams like the Eagles and, you know, put out there for the Chiefs too. The Chiefs have done that as well. So, again, I wouldn't be thrilled about the Falcons drafting an offensive lineman at number 15 because we have a lot of holes and a lot of pressing needs on defense. But I don't know if you can necessarily be mad at it. And again, let's be honest with ourselves. I know some Atlanta Falcons fans may feel a way about Terry Fontenot, but Terry Fontenot hasn't missed when it comes to his first-round draft picks, besides Kyle Pitts. And I think that's more of a Kyle Pitts issue than maybe a Terry Fontenot issue. But if you want to, you know, throw Kyle Pitts out there and say, oh, you look at Kyle Pitts. Okay, I'll give you that. But Drake London, hit. Bijan Robinson, hit. Michael Penix Jr., hit. I mean, we can't argue with those, can we? I don't think so. And he's hit on some late-round picks, too. He hit on Tyler Allgeier. DeMarco Hellam seems like he has a lot of good potential. Matthew Bergeron, I know he was a second-round pick, but Bergeron looks good. So Terry Fontenot has hit on some draft picks, and he's done a good job finding good free agency pieces as well. Obviously, you know, Jesse Bates it wasn't like he found a diamond in the rough with Jesse Bates. We all knew Jesse Bates was going to come in here and be pretty good. But Darnell Mooney, he was probably the most underrated free agent signing we had. And, you know, everybody thought we overpaid for Darnell Mooney. I think after the season, I don't think anybody thinks we overpaid for Darnell Mooney, right? That was a good free agent signing as well. So when we talk about what Terry Fontenot could possibly do in the first round, I think, again, we should let Terry cook. Now, when it comes to later rounds, okay, we'll see what happens, and maybe the jury is still out. But Terry Fontenot has, in my book, done pretty darn well with these, at least his first-round picks. And I know you're supposed to hit on your first-round picks. You know, he shouldn't be getting any type of overly praised for that. But all I'm saying is, he's done what he's supposed to do. He's done his job. And so if he feels like at 15th overall, a offensive lineman, whoever that offensive lineman may be, is the best player available, because, you know, they're going to draft the best player available. I think they've shown that. We do not draft for need here in Atlanta. Terry Fontenot does not draft for need. He drafts best player available, and I think he's made that very clear, and he's proven that time and time again over these past, what, four drafts that he's been a part of. So if he feels like an offensive lineman is the best player available right there at 15, then I have to trust, as a Falcons fan, and I have to trust with him showing me that he at least is going to get that first-round pick right, I have to trust that that offensive lineman is indeed the best player available for the Falcons. So, again, we'll see what happens, but I did think that was pretty interesting when Josh Kendall brought that up. Now, I don't know if obviously that's going to happen. To me, it really does feel like this is finally the year the Falcons draft an edge rusher or some type of defensive player, defensive lineman, defensive tackle, edge rusher. It feels like this is finally the year where they do that and make Falcons fans, most Falcons fans, happy. But we shall see. We have felt that way for a few years now, and we know what happened. We know what has happened over the last few years. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I did think that was a very interesting answer from Josh Kendall. Again, wouldn't be thrilled, but I also couldn't be mad at it either. I say, all right, Terry, I'm gonna let you cook. That's gonna be my response. The Falcons end up drafting the offensive lineman with the 15th overall pick. I'm gonna be like, all right, Terry, I'm gonna let you cook, brother. I'm gonna let you cook. So, and again, on the offensive lineman he's drafted so far, at least in the high rounds, because you know he did draft Justin Schaefer, and there was somebody else too. I forget. It was actually a Georgia player, but anywho. At least to the offensive lineman he's drafting the high rounds, which I think the only one as far as the high rounds go has been Matthew Bergeron. But still, Matthew Bergeron's turned out to be a heck of a good player. So, again, I'm going to say I'm going to let you cook, Terry. We'll see what happens there on that front. Do want to talk about the Atlanta Hawks for a couple of minutes. They got a big game tonight against the New York Knicks. And Hawks going to be trying to make it four in a row tonight when they take on the Knicks. And, of course, you already know you can hear that game right here on your flagship station for the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks Radio Network, Sports Radio 92.9. The game going to be in the Garden in New York at Madison Square Garden. Pre-game set to start here at 7 o'clock with tip-off slated for 7:30. But we did get a little bit of an injury update. Somewhat of an injury update on Larry Nance Jr. and Vic Krejci. They're both going to be out tonight. And that is very tough when it comes to, you know, the Hawks trying to catch somewhat of a break here from the injury bug. Obviously, they've lost Jalen Johnson for the year. And now they're losing two pieces off the bench that they rely on heavily for a lot of minutes. And to me, the worst part about this whole thing has been Larry Nance really was starting to catch a groove coming off the bench. He was hitting threes. He was doing a good job cleaning up the glass, rebounding. So, to me, this is a really tough break for this to happen at this time because, again, finally starting to catch a groove on a three-game winning streak, and now, bam, you lose two guys who were key contributors off your bench. I don't know, Vic Krejci, he was, you know, hit or miss, but when he was going well, he did a little bit of everything for the Hawks. Rebounded, started a fast break, dished out some assists, made some threes. So, again, two guys, that you don't want to go down for the Hawks at this point in time. And, again, when it comes to this bench, you just added some firepower to your bench, and now you're losing some firepower off your bench. So, definitely not what you want if you're the Atlanta Hawks. But hopefully those guys don't have to miss too much time, but it's a lower back contusion for Vic Krejci. We all saw that hard fall he took after trying to go up for that dunk and getting that foul, which I think was a very unnecessary foul. I just was like, what are you doing? He was up in the air. He was getting the dunk. Just let him go at that point, man. What are you doing? It's just, don't understand what guys do. I understand trying to hustle, but at some point you just give up the bucket. It's over with. The play is over. You're giving up the bucket. Let it happen. Let it be. Just you don't want to risk guys' health. And again, I don't think it was necessarily him trying to be a dirty player or anything like that, but it's just reckless and it's dangerous. So definitely like that there. So BKRT out with a lower back contusion. Larry Nance Jr. with a right knee injury is out. I know a lot of people were concerned about his ankle, but it actually, the Hawks are listing it as a right knee injury, so he's out. And, of course, Kobe Bufkin and Jalen Johnson are both done for the year. They're out. And Trae Young, he was listed on the injury report for tonight's game against the Knicks. He is dealing with right Achilles tendonitis still. He's kind of been dealing with that all year, but he is listed as probable. So, you know Trae got to come home to his cheering. You know father got to come home to his cheering and ball out with his cheering one time in the garden. You know what I'm saying? So, you know Trae ain't trying to miss that game. So, hopefully we get Madison Square Garden, prime Madison Square Garden, Trae. And hopefully, again, some of these new additions, because they're going to get a lot more minutes. Hopefully guys like Caris LeVert, George Niang, and Terrence Mann ball out and continue to get comfortable with the team and put up some big numbers tonight, because the Hawks will certainly need it. Certainly need a big game from Dyson Daniels as well and Onyeka Kongwu and the rest of the crew. So we'll see what happens. And we'll probably see Muhammad Gay again tonight. I'm guessing we might get Keaton. We'll probably see more Keaton tonight as well, too. I don't know why his first name escaped me for a second there, but we'll see a little bit of him. Oh, Keaton Wallace. That is his first name. We'll see some Keaton Wallace tonight. I knew it would come to me. But probably see a fair dose of Keaton Wallace, fair dose of Muhammad Gay, and probably continue to see some other guy, maybe one other guy called up from the G League. We'll see with the Hawks taking some hits to the bench with V. Krejci and Larry Nance Jr. out. But we'll find out again. Pre-game starting right here on Sports Radio 97. The game is 7 o'clock. Tip at 7:30 on your flagship station for the Atlanta Hawks Sports Radio 92.9. The game. When we come back, pitchers and catchers reporting today for the Braves. Some big questions the Braves need to answer by the end of spring training. We'll give you those, and we'll talk about it next year on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to work or already at work. All my people that are already at the gym or on their way to the gym, I appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app, because in case you're not usually an early riser, but you're up early today for whatever reason and you're liking the show, guess what? You can tune in whenever you want. It doesn't have to be 5 a.m. It can be 5 p.m. if you listen on the free Odyssey app. It can be 10 a.m. once you get settled in at work. It could be 10 a.m. or 7 a.m. once you are getting to work or on your way to work, whatever the case is. All you got to do, download the free Odyssey app, and once you download it, search 92.9 The Game, search the Hometown Take, you'll find my show. Then you can listen back to it whenever you want. You can listen to my full show in its entirety on that free Odyssey app. You can listen to all the great shows on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in their entirety with that free Odyssey app. So make sure you download that thing. You can go back and listen to, again, full shows, interviews, your favorite segments. You can do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. As we talked about, pitchers and catchers reporting for the Braves. And I do want to have a couple of conversations, answer a couple of questions for you that Dave O'Brien again put out on The Athletic. He's a Braves beat writer, longtime Braves beat writer for The Athletic. And he posted a couple of questions and key battles that Braves fans and all should be on the lookout for. And I want to go over these. So first, let's touch on the key battles. He had two key battles on there. And then he also had three questions that the Braves need to answer by the time spring training ends. So we'll get to the key battles first, and then we'll get to those three questions. So here we go. Starting with the key battles, we will do this. First, fifth starter candidates. And that key battle of who is going to be the fifth starter. Some candidates are obviously Grant Holmes, Ian Anderson, A.J. Smith-Shawver. Those are probably the top three. So when you talk about each of these guys, Grant Holmes, obviously he came up and showed out in a big way when called upon last season after, again, this Braves pitching staff, you know, definitely had their struggles at times and dealt with their injuries for sure. So I think Grant Holmes definitely has a chance, but the one thing I don't say I worry about, but I think Grant Holmes is honestly better suited in a little bit better of a long reliever role and coming out of the bullpen. I just think he's got good stuff, but the stuff not all the way there as far as, like, you know, crazy dynamic stuff. But I will say this, he's solid and he definitely knows how to get the job done. And I do wonder about, like, how long he ended up going. I think it was the longest he's gone in a game, what, six? Maybe he's gone seven. I have to go back and look. But I do like – I wouldn't mind Grant Holmes in that fifth starter role, but I'm going to be honest, I think I would prefer either A.J. Smith-Shawver or Ian Anderson. I would prefer one of those two to be the fifth starter this year. Ian Anderson, if he ends up being the fifth starter, that would be great because that means he's bounced back from his injury and he's kind of gotten back right and he's kind of gotten over that mental hurdle that he felt like was kind of plaguing him when he struggled the last time we saw him really in a Braves uniform. So it'll be nice if it was Ian Anderson, and it'll also be nice if it was A.J. Smith-Shawver because that means, you know, he's ready to take that next step, and that means he has shown that he has kind of taken that next step in spring training at least. So I think it's a better situation for the Braves, and I think it's more beneficial to the Braves if the fifth starter this year ends up being Ian Anderson or A.J. Smith-Shawver, and then you can use Grant Holmes for long relief if you need him, or you can just use him as – you can just have him as a bullpen arm. I think that is a better situation for the Braves, but – you could end up, if you wanted to, using, you know, a guy like maybe A.J. Smith-Shawver out of the bullpen. I guess you could also use Ian Anderson as a long reliever out of the bullpen, but I think you more so want Ian Anderson and A.J. Smith-Shawver to kind of be starters for you or have that starter role for you, and then you can use Grant Holmes out of the bullpen. So I think that is, again, what's going to be most beneficial, but I could definitely see Grant Holmes winning it because I think so far, when you talk about out of those three guys of Grant Holmes, A.J. Smith-Shawver, and Ian Anderson, who's been the most consistent? And consistency really is the number one thing when you talk about a starting pitcher. Do we know what we're going to get from you start in and start out? Even if it's not great, even if you're going to give up three, four runs, we want at least want to know what we're getting from you. We don't want anything that's too erratic when we talk about what the starting pitcher is going to be. We don't want to know, hey, he could go out there and throw a no-hitter, or he could go out there and give up seven runs. Like, that's not what you want from a starting pitcher. You want to know, okay, he's either going to give up one or two runs and he's going to be really solid, or he's going to be okay and he's going to give up 3 to 5 runs. But you don't want a guy who's out there and going to be erratic and you don't know what you're going to get. You want consistency from your starting pitchers for sure. You want consistency from all your pitchers, but definitely your starting pitcher. So if we're talking about that, I think Grant Holmes definitely has maybe a little bit of a leg up when you talk about consistency over A.J. Smith-Shawver and Ian Anderson. Naji Smith-Shawe is fairly consistent, but I don't think he was consistent as Grant Holmes was last season. So we'll see how that ends up panning out. But I think what will be most beneficial to the Braves, again, is you have Ian Anderson, Naji Smith-Shawe as, you know, one of them can be the fifth starter coming out of training camp, and the other, you know, you can have them obviously come in and be that extra guy whenever you need them to be. And then you have Grant Holmes being able to be a long reliever or just, you know, a bullpen arm that you can use in whatever situation you need him for. So that's how I feel about that key battle when we talk about who's going to be the fifth starter heading into this season. Also, another big battle that Dave O'Brien has on this article here, setup reliever. Who is going to be that guy that sets up Raisel Iglesias? So you have guys like Pierce Johnson who are coming back, Aaron Bummer, Daisbell Hernandez, Dylan Lee. And we'll see if any of those guys who will step up. Also, I think AJ Minter is gone. So obviously he won't be in that conversation anymore. But, you know, I think Pierce Johnson obviously is probably the favorite to start out. Aaron Bummer, again, we just talked about consistency. I don't think Aaron Bummer is consistent enough for me. He was okay. He was good, but he was just a little too erratic for me. I feel like when he was good, he was good. But I felt like there were too many times where he just had too many, like, really bad outings and really bad days. So I'm not sure about Aaron Bummer. I think I like Pierce Johnson the most in this role. Dylan Lee also wouldn't be bad. Daisbell Hernandez, okay. But I think as far as we talk about Pierce Johnson, Aaron Bummer, Daisbell Hernandez, Dylan Lee, I think Pierce Johnson is best set up for that set-up role. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Okay, we only have a few minutes left, so I want to go ahead and get to these questions that Dave O'Brien posed as well. His number one question was, what can the Braves expect from Ronald Acuña Jr., and can the team's offense be closer to the prolific slugging machine it was in 2023? I definitely think it can be. I think you have, for this Braves team, it's simple. They just got to stay healthy. That's all it was. And I know even at times they were fairly healthy, they still couldn't. It felt like they could never really get it going, but I feel like if they stay healthy and they can stay healthy for longer stretches than they were able to last season, I think they'll be able to get something going, and they'll be a lot closer to what they were offensively in 2023 than what they were in 2024. But, I mean, you just had guys in and out of the lineup at all times, and it felt like guys were so much in and out of the lineup that nobody could really catch a rhythm. And I know Matt Olson struggled, and he was in the lineup most of the time. I think he might have actually played every game. But he did start to catch fire towards the end of the season, so that was good to see. Hopefully he can get off to a hotter start. But other than maybe Matt Olson, guys were in and out of the lineup all season, and I feel like nobody in that regard could really catch a rhythm. So guys staying healthy, I think, will help a lot of what plagued the Braves last season as far as offense goes and batting goes. So hopefully these guys can honestly just stay healthy, because I think that's going to fix a lot of their problems that they had offensively last year. But as far as what can we expect from Ronald Acuña Jr., hopefully he can, when he comes back and whenever he does return to the Braves, I hope he can get off to a hotter start and he won't take as much of an adjustment period as he did last time he was coming off this ACL injury. Because if you remember last time he came off the ACL injury, it really took him that whole year. He could never really get anything going. Then the year after he really had confidence in that knee again, he went bonkers, and he won the MVP, and obviously he had 40 home runs, stole 70 bases. So it's just how long is it going to get him to be comfortable with that knee again and fully trust that knee again? Because when we know he does, we know what he can do. So to me, I just hope, having gone through this a second time, it won't take him as long to trust in that knee again and have full trust in that knee again. So to me, that's what that is. These other two questions real quick. We'll talk about the third question when we come back. But this second question, real quick, who bats lead off when it's not Acuna? I think Profar, he could obviously be a very good leadoff addition. I think usually he primarily hit second and third last season with San Diego, but I think he is a good candidate to hit leadoff for the Braves. Michael Harris obviously can hit leadoff as well too. So I think it's probably going to be between Money Mike and Profar. So we'll see who ends up getting it between those two. You're probably going to start off being Money Mike, and then if you start to see Profar maybe get hot, then maybe they try him at leadoff. We'll see. But I think to start the season, it's probably going to be Money Mike if I had to guess. I don't think it'll be Ozzy, but Ozzy, I think, is a dark horse contender there as well. All right. We'll come back and answer that third question for you. You can think about it during the break. Are the Braves asking too much from their rotation? We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on the Happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday. Hope you all are doing well. Thank you to everybody that is tuned in right now, that are on their way to work or already at work, that are on their way to the gym or already at the gym. Appreciate you. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Want to give you a quick update on the NFL coaching cycle. It is over. All the NFL, at least head coaching, let me be specific, all the NFL head coaching vacancies have now been officially filled after the New Orleans Saints, the Aints, they got their guy. And it's who we all figured it would be because he was kind of the only candidate left. But Kellen Moore has officially been introduced as the, or officially announced as the New Orleans Saints head coach. And there's also now a report, early reports out that former Los Angeles Chargers, head coach is going to be, or the former Los Angeles Chargers head coach Brandon Staley is the lead candidate to be Kellen Moore's defensive coordinator. So there's a quick update on that for you. So Kellen Moore already working to put his staff together. And we were talking about this yesterday on the morning shift too. If Kellen Moore is still going to go to the parade, I think he would. I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, I know he's going to be, you know, busy working and doing stuff, but man, if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm still going to that parade. We just won a Super Bowl. I'm definitely showing up at the parade, period. You ain't keeping me from that parade. I don't know if I'll be able to go back. I don't know if I'll have another one. This could be his only opportunity to experience that. So if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm definitely going to that parade, period. Point blank, period. You ain't stopping me. I don't care if I am the new head coach from New Orleans Saints. I was still a part of that Philadelphia Eagles championship team. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be at that parade if I'm Kellen Moore. But anywho, did want to give you a quick update and heads up on that. It is officially official. Kellen Moore is now the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and early reports are that that Brandon Staley, the former Los Angeles Chargers head coach, is the early candidate to be Kellen Moore's DC. So there you have that there, a little NFL news for you. All right, let's get back into, as promised, these questions from Dave O'Brien. He put out an article on The Athletic. He is the longtime Braves beat writer for The Athletic. He put out a couple of questions and key battles for the Braves as pitchers and catchers have reported for the Bravos. And again, he put out some key position battles and talked about and put out some questions that he says the Braves need to have answered before they break spring training and go into the regular season. So if you're just joining us, I'll quickly go over the key battles again. One was the fifth starter, and for his top candidates, and I think they're the top candidates as well. He had Grant Holmes, Ian Anderson, and A.J. Smith-Shawver. Now, consistency-wise, I definitely think Grant Holmes maybe is the most consistent out of those three, and that's why he has a good chance at being the fifth starter coming out of spring training. But I think it would be more beneficial to the Braves if it's Ian Anderson or A.J. Smith-Shawver, if one of them win the job, because then you have one of those guys who you more so want to be your fifth starter. You have one of those guys being your fifth starter, and then you can bring Grant Holmes. You have another weapon to the bullpen, which obviously you lost Tyler Matzik. You lost A.J. Minter. Joe Jimenez is going to be recovering from injury, so he's not going to be ready at the start of the season. So you definitely want Grant Holmes to be able to come out of the bullpen if possible. But for that to happen, Ian Anderson and or A.J. Smith-Shawver got to win that job. And again, A.J. Smith-Shawver has been okay, but has he taken that next step? Ian Anderson, has he gotten over his injury? Is he fully back from his injury? And has he gotten over kind of that mental block it seemed like he had before he had that injury? Has he gotten over all those things? Those are all the big questions there. So we'll find out during spring training for sure. It'll be an interesting battle to watch out for. But I think Grant Holmes has a really good chance to end up being the fifth starter, but it'll be more beneficial to the Braves if it is either A.J. Smith-Shawver or Ian Anderson. So we'll see what happens there. Another key battle that we were talking about last segment was who's going to be the setup guy for Rossell Iglesias. Obviously, you lost, like we said, A.J. Minter. You lost Tyler Matzik, and Joe Jimenez is going to miss most of 2025 after he's recovering from knee surgery that he had in October. So he's going to be missing most of the season, it seems like. But you do have Pierce Johnson. You got Aaron Bummer, Daisbell Hernandez, Dylan Lee, all guys that could be competing for that setup role. To me, I think it should be Pierce Johnson. To me, when it came to the bullpen, he was the best and most consistent guy there was. So I would like to see Pierce Johnson in that setup role, but I think Daisbell Hernandez could be good. Dylan Lee, I think, could be good as well. Aaron Bummer, I don't like so much because he was good, but I feel like he was also too erratic at times for me. Like, he would be really good, but also there were times where he'd be really, really bad. So I just didn't feel like there was as much consistency as I would want from your setup guy who could be your setup guy. I just feel like I need to see more from Aaron Bummer, and I need to see more consistency from Aaron Bummer before I'm comfortable with him being in that setup role. So, all right, and then we answered the questions. You know, what can the Braves expect from Ronald Acuña Jr., and can the team's offense be closer to what it was in 2023? Again, just real quick, I think staying healthy is going to be the key thing for the Braves this season because, yes, you did have Matt Olson who struggled, and he, I think, played pretty much every single game the Braves had last year. So, yes, he definitely needs to get off to a hotter start, and he heated up a little bit at the end of last year, but, you know, it was obviously to no avail. But everybody else is kind of in and out of the lineup. Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies. I mean, guys were just in and out of the lineup all season long. Obviously, Ronald Acuña Jr. missed most of the season. So if we can get healthy or we can be healthy for most of the year, and I know injuries are a part of the game, they're a part of every sport, but the Braves can stay healthy for most of the year, then I think the offense just off that alone will be a lot better because guys just, because they're in and out of the lineup so much, they just couldn't get into a rhythm, period. I mean, and we know baseball is all about rhythm, all about routine, and with guys being in and out of the lineup, You can't establish that. And I feel like the most Braves in that lineup last year can never really establish a rhythm. So that's what it felt like to me was one of the main issues for the Braves offense last year. And then Ronald Acuña Jr., again, how much is he going to trust that knee as soon as he gets back? How much does going through a torn ACL and going through that rehab and being through that before, how much does that help him this time around, this second time around? Because it took him a while that first time to fully trust that knee. What he did fully trust that knee, though, He went 40-70 and was the MVP. So will he be able to feel like he can fully trust that knee sooner because he's been through this before? Hopefully that is the case, and he'll get off to a hotter start and he won't have as much of an adjustment period that he did the last time he suffered a torn ACL. And then question number two, just also real quick, who's going to hit leadoff when Ronnie's not hitting leadoff? I think it's probably going to start off being Michael Harris. And then after that, you know, if Profar gets hot and once he gets adjusted to the team and if, again, he starts to heat up, then maybe you could see Profar take that role. But I think if Michael Harris is hitting well in leadoff, you probably don't shake that up too much. Profar primarily hit second and third in the lineup when he was in San Diego last season. So you probably want to keep that, especially if Michael Harris is doing well in leadoff. There's no really reason to switch that up too much. So we'll see, but I think it'll be between Michael Harris and Profar. And I think Ozzy, too, can maybe be a dark horse to hit leadoff as well. But if I had to guess right now, probably going to be Money Mike hitting leadoff. And I'm fine with that. I think he can be a very good leadoff hitter. All right. Now, this third question. Are the Braves asking too much from their rotation? Are they relying too heavily on their starting rotation? Do they not have enough bullpen help? So, obviously, you're getting Chris Sale back, who was Cy Young Award winner and just had an amazing, amazing season. You got him coming back. You got Reynaldo Lopez coming back. Had a 1.99 ERA, was just solid as all get out. Spencer Schwellenbach, he was a godsend last season. After Spencer Strider goes down, one Spencer went out, another Spencer came in, and he wasn't, you know, the Spencer Schwellenbach or the Spencer Strider, I should say, hitting, you know, 100 miles per hour on a consistent basis, but he was as solid as they come too and got the job done and helped the Braves still find a way to get to the postseason and be a game away from getting 90 wins. So you got those three guys. But again, you're going to need Ian Anderson, Grant Holmes, AJ Smith-Shaver. You're going to need one of those guys to step up too. But are the Braves going to be relying too heavily on Sale, Schwellenbach, and Rodon Lopez? Are you going to be relying too heavily on those guys? Because remember, he did have the kind of luxury until everybody started getting hurt. You were able to have kind of like a six-man rotation at times, and you know that helped Chris Sale stay healthy until obviously the postseason where he couldn't get in that series against the Padres. But are you going to be able to have that same luxury this time around? I don't know, because again, you'll have Spencer Strider too. But when Strider comes back, you're going to have a good four, but who's going to be that fifth guy? So are you just going to go, you know, back and forth between trying out Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson and AJ Smith-Shaver? I don't think you want to do that once the season gets going. Obviously, you know, spring training is one thing, but when the season gets going, you would like to have some sort of settled five-man rotation. And, you know, we just got to see if one of those guys, again, between Ian Anderson, AJ Smith-Shaver, and Grant Holmes stands out of those three. But as far as if they're going to be relying too heavily on their rotation, I think bullpen-wise, look, they still do have time to bring somebody in. And Alex Anthopoulos has always been known for bringing in guys to add to the bullpen late, so maybe he does that again. But I think as far as bullpen goes, I think we have a solid bullpen right about now. And again, if Ian Anderson and AJ Smith-Shaver show that they can be good, maybe you add both of those guys to the rotation. And, you know, at least until Spencer Strider comes back, and then you'll have one that, you know, maybe you go back to a six-man rotation. Who knows? But you can add Grant Holmes to the bullpen if you need to, if Ian Anderson and AJ Smith-Shaver allow that, because they're doing what they need to do as potential starters. So when you talk about, you know, maybe Grant Holmes, Dylan Lee, Daisbell Hernandez, Pierce Johnson, obviously got Raisel Iglesias to be your closer. Think you have a solid bullpen. Aaron Bummer, too, as well. I don't think they'll be relying too much on their rotation, but you'll definitely need Chris Sale's going to have you're definitely going to need Chris Sale to be close to the guy he was last season. And he had a career year last season, so we'll see. But Spencer Strider, going to need him back ASAP, because there is definitely going to be a little makeshift until Spencer Strider can get back as well. But hopefully he'll be back around late April, beginning of May. We'll see. But definitely some questions the Braves have that they need to answer before spring training and to look out for during spring training. Who's going to be that setup guy? Who's going to be that fifth starter? And what is this lineup going to look like as far as until Ronald Acuña Jr. gets back as well? So all things to consider when talking about the Atlanta Braves, because that season is going to get started before you know it, as pitchers and catchers are down in Northport already. All right, when we come up, actually, we're going to wrap things up here on the Hometown Take. My time is over. And coming up next, the Morning Shift, Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson going to get things going for you on a Wednesday edition of the Morning Shift. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. sharp. Until I talk to you then, peace.